Joining us now on the OK Tires Hotline, a man full of talent, former offensive lineman here in the University of Alabama, now with the Philadelphia Eagles, Evan Mathis. Evan, good morning to you, man. What's up?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, brother. Hey, want to get your thoughts on where you think the program is here at Alabama right now. Of course, I want to talk a little bit about the Philadelphia Eagles, but mainly this morning, my been chomping at the bit. The $64,000 tab. Dude, that is some impressive stuff. That is some serious impressive stuff. How much of that was booze and how much of that was food?
The tab?
The tab, yes.
You know the tab wasn't real, right?
Oh, it's not real?
No, it's not real.
Oh, man, I was hoping.
No, dude, that's Photoshop.
Oh, dude, I was sitting here thinking, because I was trying to think, you know, you can get a several hundred dollar steak, but I was thinking, man, that has to be a ton of booze on there because you can only get food that's so expensive.
Yeah, well, the prices were actually, like, most of the stuff was real prices that I got from the menu at Del Frisco's. But yeah, the tab was just a prank that I put out there to pull a little hook. Some people have some fun with it on Twitter.
Well, hey, you had fun with me on it because you definitely had me hook, line, and sinker. But visiting with Evan Mathis, offensive lineman for the Philadelphia Eagles. Evan, man, you've been somewhat of a journeyman. You're in Philadelphia now. How you liking the city of brotherly love?
Philly's probably the best city I've been in when it comes to sports in the NFL. The city is full of passion. I compare the fan base in Philly to the fan base in Tuscaloosa, to the fan base nationwide for the Crimson Tide. Just a really passionate fan base that loves their team, diehard fans. And as far as the organization goes, it's just a top-class organization. Really good people there in Philly.
Evan, you hear just outlandish stories of Philadelphia Eagles fans, and I agree with you. I think they got the passion that we have here in the Southeast, especially in Tuscaloosa. What's some of the better fan stories you got? That you can tell on the radio, because I'm sure there's probably some of them you can't get out.
Well, I mean, there's some, like, the legendary ones I heard, like, there was a Santa Claus one year that some of the fans were booing a few years back. I mean, these are all stories before I got there. So these are the more rapid stories. But sometimes they were known to throw, like, you know, the size D batteries at people. Sometimes they get a little rabid when things aren't going their way. They can be rowdy. But I guess, you know, a lot of fans that really love their team, if things aren't going well, you can see it in some of them. I saw it in my years at Bama when we were going through the four head coaches we went through.
Yeah, and Evan, I want to get your thoughts about where the program is now, because you and I shared the same head coach, maybe not for as long, but from each other. But I was recruited under Mike Shula, and I want to get your thoughts on that. But kind of sticking with Philly, and I know that Chip Kelly is kind of a new man on the scene as far as what he's bringing to the NFL and his style of offense. And, you know, Philadelphia has kind of always been known as a blue-collar type city, and he's bringing a sexy offense to it. How's it been adjusting to that up-tempo, fast-paced style play?
I think it fits really well with a lot of the guys that we have on the team. When Chip got there, he told us everything that we were doing, and most importantly, he told us why we were doing everything that we were doing. And he won everyone over immediately. All the guys bought in to what he was doing on and off the field. And we started off 3-5 last year, but we were still just in a learning phase. And then we kept going. We knew we were close. And then when we finished, we had we were 7-1 the last half of the season. So we finished with 10 wins, made the playoffs, and you know we have a lot of momentum going that we hope we can keep going as we start this year.
As an offensive lineman, is it easier on your body to do the up tempo and the blocking schemes? Is it easier?
No, it's not so I do a lot of people, like you said, you call it a sexy offense, but the blocking schemes for the most part are still smash mouth football. We run a lot of the inside zone. I've never been anyone in the NFL that runs the inside zone as much as this offense does. The only thing the up tempo does is just whatever you do it really fast. So the next play comes fast. And it's really, you know, it's hard adjusting to that at first, you can't really get in the proper shape. Just conditioning, you can't really get in the proper shape practicing. The best way to get in shape for doing that is by actually doing that. And, you know, that comes in the preseason games and in the first few games of the season. Your lungs and your body are still adjusting to that. But once you adjust to that and you see the look on the defense's face when you're running, you know, all these fast plays in a row, they got their hands on their hips, they're faking injuries to get some, catch their breath. It really starts to wear them. They're all getting mad and yelling at each other. And that's what that up-tempo offense can do to people.
Evan, you mentioned you start 3-5 and then finish 7-1. How much of that was Nick Foles settling in?
I think a lot of it was Nick Foles settling in. Nick Foles is a really talented quarterback, really smart kid. You know, he competed with Michael Vick for the starting job last training camp, and I think Vick finished just slightly ahead of him, and Nick continued to keep his head in the playbook, continued to take the coaching and grow himself as a player. And when it came time for his name to be called, he responded very well, and he continued to grow throughout the season. He had an outstanding year.
Evan, you saw Deshaun Jackson leave this offseason, head to Washington. Is there any bit of bad blood there?
No, I don't really. But amongst the players, there's for sure no bad blood. I really think that was more so a decision made based on how much he cost as a player. You know, his cap number was, you know, it was up into the 8 digits. And if there was any slight headache at all, that's not something you put up with for that much money.
Absolutely. I wish I was worrying about an 8-digit headache. That can't be bad. Visiting with former Alabama Crimson Tide lineman, now with the Philadelphia Eagles, and 2013 Pro Bowler Evan Mathis. Evan, I guess, you know, relaying into college, you spent 4 years here at the University of Alabama. You talked about how you went through 4 head coaches. What was that like, just not knowing, you know, each year? Just it's hard to get cemented into a system.
When I first came into Alabama, Alabama had just won the SEC championship. And my freshman year, the year I redshirted, we were preseason number 3 in the nation. And then after that, anything that could go wrong went wrong. We finished 3-8 that year. That was Mike DeBose's year. Mike DeBose got fired. Then we went on probation from things that happened in the late 90s. So we had 2 years where we lost scholarships. We lost bowl opportunities. We had a good year under Dennis Franchione's second year, and then he decides that he wants to go to Texas A&M. Mike Price comes in. Everybody loves what Mike Price is doing. We think he's going to be great. He's only there for a spring. He has the strip club incident, and boom, he's gone. And then Coach Shula comes in, and my 2 years with him was, you know, we were riddled with injuries. Brody Quayle got hurt, our quarterback, and so when I was in college, it just seemed like anything that could go wrong went wrong.
You mentioned Dennis Franchione, and let me give you the platform to go ahead and blast him if you want to do so. what was the locker room like after he cut tail and ran?
We were all mad and upset, and it was crazy. I went into his office when he left, and you know those marble nameplates the coaches have on their desk.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why, but I walked in there and I put that in my pocket and I left with that. So I still have this big marble slab as a keepsake that says Dennis Franchione, Coach Fran on it. there were guys taking pictures off the wall to take home. You know, we were being a little unruly. You know, we were really upset that, you know, our coach said, you know, we gave him a 10-win season and he hightailed out of there.
Yeah, and it you know, it upset the entire fan base, and you know, a lot of people thought it was a bad character move on his part, and I'm one of those people. But so you transitioned that into Mike Price, and you said that he was excited about what he was bringing. Did he get that excitement back? Was it his personality, or was it just his game plan, or what created that excitement?
It was both of those, man. He came in with a, you know, a run and gun offense. He was reeling the big plays. That was his coaching philosophy. In practice, anytime there was a big play, I mean, they really celebrated a big play. And if you had a certain number of big plays, you could get out of practice early. But everybody, he brought a ton of enthusiasm. And when they were, you know, when they were considering firing him, before we knew, you know, half the team went and on his behalf and spoke for him and said, we don't want him out of here. We like the guy. He's a good guy. And we went to bat for him, but, you know, they made the decision to fire him and we had to go learn a whole new offense.
And that transitioned into a maybe less exciting, more traditional Mike Shula offense. And I was able to be a part of that offense as well. And, you know, you talk about it being injury plagued, but I think a lot of people do you feel like Mike Shula gets an unfair rap for what he dealt with while he was here?
Yeah, probably, because he was dealing with, you know, the years that he was there, he was dealing with the repercussions of the recruiting violations, the probation, the limited scholarships, and the terrible recruiting that Francione and his staff had done. So what he was working with, you know, he kind of had limited opportunities and didn't have the best to choose from. But I think he did the best he could. And, you know, he had some solid seasons once he really got ingrained there. But then it all came to a change, as we know.
Absolutely, and I was a part of that change and spent three years with Nick Saban. Where do you see the program now? Are you proud? Do you still carry that pride, you know, to be a former Alabama guy, or is it just kind of one of those things through everything that you went through, you just got burnt out on it?
No, I had the pride even when, you know, after I left, when before Saban got there, I still had the pride. That's something that's always been in my blood. I grew up an Alabama fan. So it's something that'll never leave me, and I'm still proud of where they are now and looking forward to the direction the program is headed and see what they can do, how they can bounce back and respond to how last year ended.
All right, Evan, this former Crimson Tide offensive lineman, Evan Mathis, now with the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm going to let you go here this morning. Before I let you go, though, you know, people, I think it gets hidden how good that offensive line was your senior year with Smiley and Britt and several others. How do you guys stack up with that 2012 offensive line?
Oh, how do we stack up? I don't know. I have to choose us, right?
Yeah, absolutely, man.
we had some really good guys. Of course, I'm going to be biased towards my guys.
Sure.
But yeah, we had some guys that were, you know, full of pride, full of talent, really hardworking, a really hardworking group of guys. But, you know, I kind of see that in the same group they have now.
Absolutely. Evan Mathis, former offensive lineman, now with the Philadelphia Eagles. And Evan, man, appreciate your time this morning, brother.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me again.
Have a good one. Best of luck in Philadelphia.
Thanks a lot. Take care.